Since 1988, Whitetail Institute has been perfecting annual and perennial seed products specifically for hunters who plant food plots. Their seeds have been engineered to be palatable, high in protein, and extremely attractive to deer. Whether you live in the Deep South or Midwest farm country, they have products that will help you grow your best food plot yet. For more information about their seeds and their blends, visit whitetailinstitute.com. Enter the discount code SE15 for 15% off.
All right, what's going on, guys? Welcome to another episode of Southeastern Bowhunter Podcast. This is the first episode, well, last episode we're recording until turkey season 2026 starts. So I thought, who better than to get the turkey man, at least that's what I call him this time of year, Mr. Michael Pitts from Realtree, road trips, all that stuff, all the good shows that we've seen Pitts on. And, you know, he's become a really good buddy of mine over the past, I don't know, year or so. So I figured Pitts knows how to kill turkeys. He knows how to run for Mr. Green Jeans. And it's just going to be a really good episode. So before we get into it, I hope you guys really enjoyed last week's episode with Dustin, talking about men's mental health. That's probably something that's going to come up a lot here in the next, I don't know, weeks as the podcast gets rolling and just everything. Because it's just the thing that we've, you know, I've really started taking a very important look at. So before we get into it, Mr. Michael Pitts, we got to run through the partners real quick. Looks like this mic is kind of messing up a bit. Let's see if I can fix that. Okay, hopefully it doesn't slowly go down. I'll keep an eye on it as we're going. It looks like it might be moving. But anyway, you guys know I love messing around with these mics. So partners, before we get into it with Pitts, this podcast is brought to you by Sportsman's Empire. You probably heard Dan's ad in the beginning, but I got to do my part and talk about it. Sportsman's Empire is a group of podcasters like myself, Dan being one of them, who actually runs Sportsman's Empire. And it is honestly just a group of really good podcasts. So if you guys want some other content than just this, or maybe your typical, you know, Joe Rogan's or Sean Ryan's or whatever, go check them out. Let's see. Next up, Osseo Gear. I actually just got the brand new Leafy early season jacket. I do plan on using that during turkey season this year a little bit, but I mainly got it because I wanted to have something that is going to be more in tune with my style of bow hunting that I'm going to be doing this year. You know, I'm planning on getting a little lower, getting a little more close to their trails in the thicker stuff, because, you know, down in Georgia we have a lot of thick brush, and I'm not going to be getting up as high. So Osseo makes, in my opinion, the best camo on the market. I absolutely love it. So go try it out. And just for, I say this every time, but just so everybody knows, all the discount codes for all these partners and all of the websites that will take you to their website, if you want to get some of their stuff, it's all listed down in the description below. Let's see. The next up is a boutique. I'm going to run through these kind of quick, but the boutique makes the best arrow wraps in the game. Go support him. G5 Outdoors. They've got that new Dirty Bird broadhead. I love it. I think it's one of the coolest looking broadheads we've seen in a very long time. Yeah, this thing is definitely sliding down. I'll play with it in a minute. But anyway, G5, they always knock it out of the park with their broadheads. Let's see. We got Prime Archery. So got my new Divide completely set up, ready for tax, sighted in, got the sticks, got everything that I need for it. So if you guys are looking to get a Prime, I highly recommend you check out the Divide series. If you want to get something that's maybe a little bit older, but still just as good, or shooting just as good, head over to Ace Hardware. They are running a special right now. They have 7 Prime RBX bows. I think there's 5 RBX 34s and 2 RBX 32s. All right. They're trying to get those things out of there. And I told them I'll help them out on here, trying to get, you know, some people to go get those bows. They're really good bows. Prime makes the best bows on the market, in my opinion. So go check them out. Please go support them. You will get a killer deal. Tell them that we sent you. Let's see. Next up, Dialed Archery. So my proof is working great, man. It was super easy to sight in. Be on the lookout for small batches coming. Let's see. Next up, Moultrie. Moultrie cams are working fantastic. Had deer on camera this morning, so that's really exciting. I actually found a bearded hen, so that's kind of cool. Let's see. Bow Hunting League. Talk about them every week. If you want to be a state sponsor, go to the website, get signed up. It's only $100 a month, and tell them that we sent you over there. Boning Archery, still running the alphas. Scrape Doctor, going to probably start getting scrapes out here in the next couple of weeks. Victory Archery, running the HLRs all season. Catalyst Archery, that is the Dude, I'm drawing a blank. It's been a very long day. I'm sorry. That Catalyst is the stabilizer company that we started working with not too long ago, where you can get top-notch stabilizers for a quality, affordable price. And last but not least, it's going to be Unbound Archery, which is a string company that I have partnered up with this year. Been buddies with Nick for a while. And dude, best strings out there. I absolutely love them. So that is all the partners. I'm gonna run through this kind of quick because this mic is trying to follow me. If you're watching, I mean, you could see I've got to fix it. But anyway, if you guys don't know who Jesus Christ is, please, 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 please give him a shot. All right, I did, and it is the best decision I've ever made. I absolutely cannot thank him enough for everything he's done in my life. You heard me and Dustin talking about it a lot last week, and yeah, I think there's a lot of people that need him right now. Myself included, I always need him. But Jesus offers something that nobody else can, and that is, it's a life-changing experience. So if you guys are going through anything, you want to talk about it, reach out to me. Yeah, that's the intro. So remember, go read your Bible, go shoot your bow, and let's get started with Michael Pitts.
Southeastern Bow Hunter Podcast.
All right, y'all. You look, I say this every time. You read the title. You know who the guest is. He's one of my favorite people to get on here. Honestly, in the past year and a half, he's probably been the most consistent one, which is great. We got Mr. Michael Pitts from Realtree back on the podcast. We're gonna talk a little bit. We're gonna talk about some different things, right? Like, I think you came on not that long ago, talked about your season. So we know how deer season went.
Right.
And this is 2 days before the turkey opener here in Georgia. And everybody that listens to this knows I know nothing about turkeys. I do plan on going out and hunting them this year if I can find the time. But dude, so before we get into turkeys and all that stuff, and I just kind of go slack jaw and you're just explaining everything and you can tell that I am zoning out.
You got to start somewhere.
Yeah. What have you been up to, man?
Here lately, typically between deer season and turkey season's where I take a little break because nothing's really going on. So I can get caught up on, stuff around the house, errands, just stuff I need to get done. So,
yeah.
Since deer season went out mid-January, I've just been catching on. I've got a bunch of little things going on around here at the house, trying to do some remodeling and that kind of stuff. But typically about mid-March, early March, depending on if I go into Florida or not, I'll start gearing up for turkey, which I didn't go into Florida this year, but we just got back from Texas last week. So that was pretty good little run. It comes in a little earlier out there. So we started hunting out there pretty early. Typically
You hunting
we go
turkeys
out.
out there?
Yeah. Typically we go out
Okay.
there about once a year. We've got good little group we hunt with out there, and we kind of kick it off out there every year. That's usually our first hunt if we don't dip down into Florida. But I hadn't been into Florida the past 2 years, so
Yeah.
kind of the Texas deal's been my kickoff.
So what do they have? Like, what type of turkeys are down in I mean, obviously we've got Easterns and stuff in Florida, but like, what else are down there? Aren't there Osceolas and stuff down there too?
Yeah, Osceolas are going to be, NWTF states Jacksonville's the kind of line right there between your Eastern and your Osceolas, but I think it's a good bit further south before you start getting into your true Osceola birds.
Yeah.
I think before you get into your really true Osceolas, you got to get down around kind of the Orlando area. You're kind of dealing with hybrids, a little bit north of there.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that if you've ever seen an Eastern Osceola hybrid.
Yeah, there's a bunch of them in there, around that Jacksonville area.
Yeah.
There's a lot of your hybrids in there. And, you got a lot of states. Kansas has got a lot of hybrids because Kansas has got Easterns, Rios. There's a little corner you can kill Merriam's in. There's a lot of states that have your hybrids. But, the Osceola is so secluded to really pretty much half a state being Florida. And, you know, it's pretty expensive to dip down there. The people, the landowners and outfitters know that,
they
you
know.
They've got the prize land, you know, especially for folks trying to get their slam and that kind of stuff. So it's gotten pretty expensive down in Florida. But, you know, hunting Osceolas are really fun. And, you know, you can get into the woods a little bit earlier when you creep down in there. You can start hunting a little bit earlier in early March, that sort of deal. So the people that really are into turkey hunting will start down in Florida, and then they'll end up, you know, way up north where the seasons will go to the end of May. So you can stretch your turkey season out, you know, by starting in Florida and going your way north.
Or you could be like Waddell and get the slam in 24 hours. And
yeah, that
you've got the funds and the time.
I'm telling you,
that's so crazy to me.
That is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
That's got to be a world record, right?
I think it was. I think it was. But that's just unbelievable to even fathom being able to do that. You know, we did Beards or Bust a few years ago with Realtree, and we had three different teams that tried to do it from the vehicle. And none of us completed the slam because you've got so much traveling. You've got to incorporate into it. You can't spend too long in one area or whatever. So it is tough to do, you know, by vehicle. Now, Michael did it with using air transportation.
It's like the only way you could.
So, yeah, that's about the only way you can do it in 24 hours. But it would be a tough run. Eddie Salter and another guy that was Realtree, his name was Jeff. I can't remember his last name, but they did it back, gosh, a dozen years ago, and they completed the slam in, I think, 7 days by vehicle. But it's tough when you get into there because I don't care where you are. You know, everybody talks about how Merriams are easy to kill and this and that. A turkey can be a turkey at any time. And give you more fits than you want to deal with. So, you know, you've almost got to hope that the birds are acting right everywhere you go. And there's a lot of things that got to align to make it work.
So just to remind me, Osceolas are the ones that have like the blue heads and rainbow fans and all of that, right?
No, that's going to be your oscillated bird.
Oscillated. That's where. Okay.
Yep. That's going to be out of the country.
So they don't have those down in Florida.
No. The Osceola's kind of like a smaller Eastern, I guess you would say. It's a little bit, they're about 18, 19 pounds, you know. I like to call them little velociraptors because they got long old legs and, you know, it's just they come creeping out. It's pretty cool. But, you know, I would say your Osceolas in your Easterns are probably two hardest birds to kill, you know, as far as your slam goes. Yeah. If you knock those two out, you know, a Rio and a Merriam, you know, they should be pretty easy. But and it's just like I always tell people, even within the Eastern species, which covers more ground than any other, you know, subspecies of the turkey goes, they hunt different in different states. Like, I don't care what people say. You get in middle Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, and even into Louisiana, that little middle line right there through there, some of the toughest turkeys you'll ever hunt, regardless, anywhere in the country.
Why is that?
I don't know if it's territory or what, because when you go on up into Tennessee and, you know, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, all the way up, you know, into Maine and all that, the turkeys hunt a lot better, a lot easier, you know, especially Tennessee. Tennessee can be really, really good when those birds are on fire, and they hunt very easy. And I don't know if it's a terrain or a pressure deal or what it is, but you dive down, you know, just 5 hours into mid-Georgia or whatever, and it's like a totally different bird. Even though they're both Easterns, they hunt totally different. And that's one of the cool things, you know, you get to see when you get out and travel and hunt different birds. And, you know, it's the same with deer, because deer hunt different in different territories you go. So that's one of the benefits of getting out and traveling. If you like to travel, get out and travel and hunt, and, you know, you'll see these different tendencies that you hear people talking about all the time. And it's really neat to learn it and all. Like, you know, I hunted up in New York last year. We're going back this year again. But in that big mountainous country, you know, we're pretty much flat land down here. And you start getting, you know, up into your Pennsylvania, New York, all those areas, you start getting into some mountainous territories, and you've almost got to work those birds from an elevated position. You want to be higher than the bird is, or at least at the same level the bird is. When you're below the bird, they don't like to work well. They don't want to come to you. They don't want to come downhill. So, you know, there's so much to learn. And like I say, all this just with terrain and the temperament of the birds is all within the eastern species. We hadn't even gotten into Rios or Osceolas or Merriams. So there's so much to learn. And I still learn every time I step foot in the woods. And I always ask questions, why this, why that, you know, just trying to figure things out when I'm in new territories. Because that's part of the fun of it to me is, one, I like to travel. I like to see new places, meet new people. And, you know, two, it's learning the aspect of the animals in that area, because I don't know what it is. Like, you know, we've had like Drake Lamb, for instance, he was filming with us for a while, and he was coming down from Iowa, and he just thought he was going to come down here to Georgia and we were going to run through him like you do in Iowa. And he learned real quick, it does not hunt like Iowa. You know, there are times you want to wrap your gun barrel around a tree and just run off screaming. I mean, they will push you to that limit. I mean, you'll hunt all day and never hear a gobble sometimes. Dude. So, you know, I will say, if anybody can kill a turkey, you know, in that middle Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana area,
yeah,
you can kill one anywhere in the country. You know, the pressure's off if you can do it.
When I go, I'm going to feel kind of cocky because I have this track record. Somehow finding turkeys where you just wouldn't expect them to be. Like, I don't know if I told you the story, but this past, I think it was November, it had to be late November, early December, I went to this job up in, Jefferson. So, you know, north middle area. And, it's like 6:45 in the morning. Sun's just coming up, or maybe it was a little bit later than that. I don't fully remember. But I'm pulling into this parking lot, and it's this abandoned warehouse. All I got to do is their fire inspection, so I'm just checking stuff out. You know, easygoing day, right? And I pull around the corner, and, you know, these abandoned warehouses, they always have a ton of woods around them. So I'm looking for deer.
Right.
Because I'm like, dude, it's deer season. This looks like really good property. There's a little swamp down here, and then there's, you know, ridges and stuff. And, like, no one's ever here, right? These deer might be getting yelled at by the police thing. It's like, you're trespassing on private property. But that's it. I come around this corner, dude, and I see what I think is a dinosaur. I mean, legitimately, a velociraptor. The tallest, biggest turkey I've ever seen in my life. The sucker was past my knees in height. Ooh. Like, he was huge. So I'm freaking out. And I'm like, that's the biggest turkey, because I've been chased by turkeys. I've almost fought with turkeys at zoos. Like, I've got to pass the turkeys, right? I mean, I had one time, I know I'm telling two stories here, but I'll tell the second one quickly. I had this one time I was at a zoo down in Savannah, and they had this turkey. And I don't know what the thing's problem with me was, but, like, literally, I'm standing there, I'm looking at it, and it snood goes from, like hanging over its face. And just I lock eyes with this thing, and it just goes straight up. And he starts fanning, and he's, like, making weird noises, and I'm like, I think he wants to kill me. Like, I didn't do nothing to you. And I was at this veterans camp in Fayetteville, got chased by two Jakes on a golf cart. I just don't understand what it is. It's like, so I see this giant bird, right? And I'm freaking out. I go do the job. Sun's up at this point. It's like 8:30, 8:45, and I'm done, and I'm leaving. And so I'd go to the back of the property, or the back of the building, because, you know, I want to look in the woods. I'm like, okay, cool. I saw a turkey. There's obviously birds here. There's animals here. I'm going to go see what I can see. So I drive around the back, prime deer hunting. I mean, dude, the land out there, you have everything you need in, like, a very small area. So I would personally be like, oh, there's deer here for sure.
Yeah, gotta be.
And I don't see any, though, which kind of sucks. But I go up to the front of the property, I'm about to leave. I look down in the so basically the way it is this building is up on a small ridge, and then you got a bigger ridge on the other side. So you got this tiny little saddle in the middle of it.
Right.
And that is fed by this small little pond. It's kind of swampy pond, but you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
And I look down there and there's four hens just clucking away. And so I get out and I can't turkey call worth a crap, but I'm going to try anyway. So I'm like,
Yeah.
and they look at me and they just are like bobbing their heads and they just turn around and walk away. I was like, man, y'all are rude. I was like, I just, what's up, man? So
Yeah,
I
let's
feel
talk a little.
like, yeah, like I feel like when I go in the woods this year to hunt a turkey, I'm not going to be able to help it but feel like, okay, God, you've put them in front of me when it's not season. Apparently, I have a gift for finding these things in places I shouldn't. Every time I go scout on public, I find turkeys. I don't know why. So, can I please have at least one bird? That's all I want. If I kill one, I'm good. I'm
That's
hunting with
right.
a bow, like I'm good.
That's
And,
the idea.
but I know I'm going to get humbled. That's the thing, because I have no clue what I'm doing. So,
Just learn, and I learn better from my own mistakes and that kind
yeah.
of stuff. If I make a mistake, I learn 10 times better than somebody telling me not to do it. You know, when
Yeah.
I actually do it, I go, whoa, that didn't work. I'm not doing that again.
It's kind of like
So
deer hunting, isn't it?
it
When we get
is.
all our Midwestern buddies and they're like, man, try this. And
Yeah.
it's like, all right. And it doesn't work down here. Yeah.
It can be problematic at times.
Gotta love it. Those freaking birds, man. Well, and the thing is, you actually have a, you kind of have a little bit of a leg up, I feel like, because you could probably call Waddell anytime, like, hey, Waddy, what's happening? Because I
Oh,
feel
yeah.
like of all the people I know, the two that I, or the three that would stand out to me that know turkeys that I know relatively good or well
Right.
would be Tim Knight, Jay Maxwell, and Michael Waddell. And I know
Yeah.
Waddy's busy, so I probably would leave him for last, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
It
yeah.
hardly, I know he's got like no time, but if I got any turkey questions, I always hit up Jay or I'll hit up Tim Knight. And I'm like, hey, I'm planning, and I did this last year too, and then I just didn't have time to go. But I'm like, can you guys tell me what to do? And I mean, I got lists of stuff, and
Yeah,
I'm like,
yeah.
well, I thought deer hunting had a lot to it, man. This turkey stuff is nuts.
Yeah, I'm
So,
telling you, he can be tough. If a turkey
yeah.
can smell, you never kill it. You
No,
know,
dude.
I
Yeah.
mean, they are.
What is it with their eyes, man? I heard something about their eyes are like
Yeah, their
unique.
eyesight is so phenomenal. It's unreal. I mean, you've got to be super, super still. You've got to plan your movements and that sort of thing because they can pick you off so easily. It's not even funny how quick they can pick you off. In fact, hunting lots of times, you know, if you're hunting in open territory like a plantation cut or something like that, it's pretty much impossible. You know, unless you just want to sit there and deer hunt them or ambush them or whatever like that, but to actually interact with them, you know, it is really, really tough when you get in open territory because they can
Yeah.
see you way before you can see them. They've
Have
just
you
got extremely good eyesight.
ever thought, and this is just something I was thinking about the other night when I was going to bed, have you ever thought about trying to hunt turkeys out of a tree stand?
I never have. I wouldn't want to do it just because I'm a run and gun type guy. That's what I like doing is covering a lot of ground, you know,
Yeah.
trying to get a gobbling turkey because to me, just sitting there waiting on them is no fun at all. I want to interact with them, call to them, call them in.
Yeah.
And you know that a lot of people don't like that style or that method, and to each their own. And there are times where I'll sit down if nothing's gobbling or whatever. You know, I might sit up against a tree in an area where I'm seeing a lot of sign, you know, strut marks or tracks or whatever. I might
Yeah.
sit in that area a little bit just to try to listen, see if anything gets going, that sort of thing, kind of gain my bearings a little bit. Take a break, whatever. And lots of times you'll hear birds because lots of times when they're not vocal, they're coming to you. You
Yeah.
just don't know it. They're not responding to you. So lots of times if you sit tight for a little bit, they'll come up on you silent. You'll just look over and he's
There they
standing
are.
there. And lots of times I've seen it like to where if it's a one row track or whatever, and I've got to go up in there and then come back out the same way. When you go up in there calling, you know, those birds are hearing you and kind of easing towards your location. When you come back down, you'll end up busting them. They'll be sitting there in the road right where you were calling from, you know, looking for whatever was making that sound. So, you know, lots of times they're coming right to you and you never know it. So, you know, when they're not gobbling, which I typically I don't like to hunt much when they're not gobbling or not responding, because I just love to interact with them and hear the gobbles and all that. So when they're being real quiet, you know, if I'm not doing any good, lots of times I'll go to the house, because if you sit there and try to hunt them run and gun style while they're not gobbling, you'll end up bumping them and educating them and everything else. So you can do a lot of damage. You just got to kind of watch it. So on days they're not gobbling, I might sit on the ground a little bit more so I'm not running around and busting up these gobblers that are there, but they're just not responding, so I don't know they're there, which it's not very fun hunting that way to me, because I just like to be on the run and gun and moving and cutting up and talking, having a good time, you know, that kind of thing.
So you're not really much of a ground blind hunter then?
No, I don't think, I honestly don't think I've ever turkey hunted out of a ground blind.
I mean, it's because it's basically the same idea. Like what I was saying, that's what led me to think of it, because I'm like, okay, Jordan and I talked about it on his episode, and I was like, and he's killed plenty of turkeys. So I'm like, I don't know what to do. He's like, dude, if you're hunting with a bow, get a ground blind. He's like, because trying to draw back and all that other stuff, they're going to see you. And so I started thinking about it more after that. I'm like, well, dude, I don't have one yet. I was planning on buying one. Right.
Right. But
it's the same reason I never got a table. So,
life comes up.
Adulting the life of a poor is so difficult. But no, I was thinking, I'm like, you know, I've got tree stands.
Yeah.
Why not just try that? And, you know, cause I mean, Kurt from Working Class, he killed a very nice muley out of a tree stand, which you don't see a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it can't be that you can't just try it.
And if you've got some birds that are patternable, like they're flying down in this one field every morning, you know, getting in the ground blind, setting up a couple of decoys and just letting them do what they're going to do, you know, you can kill them a lot of times that way if you know exactly what they're doing and where they're going and that sort of thing. You know, off a roost hunt in the field, you know, blinds work pretty good and that sort of thing. But typically, I just like to be able to take off on foot and do this and that and everything else. But but with a bow, you know, that's a totally different thing as well, because I don't ever hunt turkey. I've never even hunted turkeys with a bow, you know. Big game, that's pretty much all I do, but I've never done it with turkeys because of the fact that I don't burn any powder during deer season usually. So come turkey season, I'm wanting to pull a trigger, you know.
I mean,
I'm wanting to burn some powder.
If you want to pull a trigger, I have an extra finger or a index release you can use.
Yeah,
same thing.
That's right. But nah, you know, I've always enjoyed hunting, you know, the turkeys with a shotgun, and I think it's due to the fact that I do, you know, so much bow hunting on the big game side, you know, with deer. You know, you've really got to talk me out of putting my bow down, you know.
Yeah.
If it's my choice, I'm taking a bow to the stand every time.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, sometimes I have to take a rifle or here and there. And it is fun to mix it up, you know, a little bit. Because I went for like 15 years and didn't even take a rifle in the woods, period.
Yeah.
You know, not even to shoot does or anything. So, but I will from time to time just to mix it up. And, you know, I think that's why I like to carry shotgun when I'm turkey hunting, is for that simple fact.
Just change, burn
a little powder, you know.
It's funny because, like, I'll talk to my buddies that turkey hunt and, you know, they're all the same way. Like one of my good buddies that I talk to frequently, named Hunter, he calls me around this time of year and I'm like, yeah, man, you know, because G5 came out of that new Dirty Bird head.
Yes.
So I'm like, yo, I can't wait to use that. And he's like, man, I'm just going to take my shotgun out there and I'm just going to kill him. And I'm like,
I can't even relate to it.
Yeah, I'm don't like, I feel like the black sheep of the group, because I'm just like, yeah, no, I just don't. It'll be 7 years this deer season that I have not taken a gun into the woods.
Right.
Or, well, taking a rifle into the woods. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it is, man. I just, And again, it's just like you said, your own personal preference, right? But
right, it is.
There's something about the challenge that just it seems so fun.
Close quarters, you know.
Exactly.
And that's kind of, you know, the turkey's close quarters too with shotgun or bow or anything. And I think I like that close quarters combat kind of stuff, you know, more than it just got when I had a rifle, it was just routine and machine like. There was no emotion. There was no anything. And, you know, when you're shooting at something 300 yards away, the wind is no concern. Yeah. You know, so, you don't even know
you're there. There's not even
exactly
a thought.
When you try to get within 30 yards of them, that's where it takes skill and knowledge and reading the weather situations and knowing what to do and where to set up. And, you know, it's same thing with deer and turkeys. We talked about that little center line, you know, at Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana. If you can kill a deer anywhere in that area, you can kill them anywhere in the country.
Yeah. Don't even get me started
just
on
the
that.
Way it is.
I've made some people mad saying that.
Brutal.
It's so bad that. So me and my buddy, Josh, we share a hunting spot, right? He mainly left it to me to deer hunt, but he wants to go turkey hunting because we've had some birds on camera, which by the way, we had a bearded hen on camera. Mm-hmm. I've heard of them. Never seen them. Craziest thing. Cause I see the
some
beard. And I'm like,
you can kill them in some states. You can't,
we can't in Georgia. So I'm like,
no, I think you can in Alabama though.
Dude, I honestly used to be able to
in Alabama, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. I was going to play the dummy for it being my first season. I'm like, maybe. But then I thought about it. I'm like, it's probably not a good idea. I don't want to break the law or anything. So
that's right.
That intrusive thought got thrown away real quick. But it's just cool to see because she's the only bird that's there. So I'm like,
it is.
But he and I were talking, and you know, it's funny the as far as I've seen the inconsistency of these birds, and you know, getting to that, and then the inconsistency of the deer lately. Because the deer, and I know I said we weren't really going to talk about deer, but I have to tell everybody this. Yeah. I've been feeding at this place since basically season ended, right? Uh-huh. And I was feeding during season too.
Right.
Haven't hunted it. Haven't done anything in there. I took my stand down end of January, right?
Right.
So 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And not only have I had a buck that potentially is still holding, which is crazy to me.
Right.
These deer were gone for like multiple days at a time. And I finally got them to daylight today. So I'm like, are we going to have another weird year? I know it's very early in the season. There's no way to tell, but it's like, I haven't even done anything. I haven't peed in the woods. I haven't, you know, I've gone once every 3 weeks. Like what's happening?
Right.
So I
mean, we still got a lot of acorns on the ground.
Oh dude. That's very possible. Yeah. That's very possibly what it is. Cause walking in, it's the same thing. Like a lot of them are broken open. A lot of them are rotting, but
where the
feed's at.
Right.
There's still tons. And I'm like, dude, this needs
to
go. Like I'm about to get a rake.
Yeah.
Just take them out of there.
I know it. And that's a lot of what it made it hard hunting for us this year.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that the food source was so abundant with all the acorns. Cause I don't care what you're putting out, if it's protein feed or it's corn or whatever, when those acorns start dropping, you know, in late September, October, they're done messing with your feed.
Oh yeah.
Primarily.
I've wasted a lot of money because of that.
Yeah. And I mean, my pictures will go, once the acorns start dropping, my pictures will go from, you know, 250 a day to 70, you know.
Oh, well, I forgot you're on a really good farm. So 70, I could see. 70 for me is like, oh man, they're all in there.
Right. Yeah, but they love acorns. There's no way to compete with them. And I was out in the woods the other day and I cut a couple open with my pocket knife just to see if they were still good. And they were still good.
Are they red oaks or white oaks? I mean, what are they?
The ones I cut open were some water oaks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. They were some water oaks, but, you know, if there's water oaks, there's the others that are there too, so that are still good. But there was just so many of them this year. Gosh, it was crazy. I've never seen many.
Do you think that because of the huge crop that we had last year, that these deer are going to go into the growing season like with a lot more, I don't want to say potential, but like, do you think that we might see some bucks blow up this season because of all this food?
It's going to help for sure.
Okay.
It's going to help for sure. But typically they're, just now starting to regrow their antlers and all as the acorn crop's kind of diminishing.
Okay.
So, typically, that's where your protein and stuff that you feed year round comes into play
Yeah.
because they're getting just as much protein out of that as they are the acorns or whatever. It's just what's available at the time. And
Yeah.
during the summer, typically you don't have acorns. You might have some that make it through. Like I say, there's still some good ones on the ground right now. So there's that. But during the summertime, they hit that protein hard. I mean, they literally will demolish it, during starting June, July,
Oh
August.
yeah.
They put such a hurting on protein. It's unreal.
Oh, it broke my bank, man. Last year, no joke, just that one spot. Remember I told you I had all those bucks on the property? I was going twice a week and it'd be gone in a day. And I'm like, y'all are gonna eat me out of house and home, man. I need it
I
because
know
I'd
it.
put a food block out and they wouldn't touch it. But you put corn or buck bourbon or any, not to do like a shameless plug or whatever, because I mean I don't work with them, but it's the stuff that works really well. I mean, I was spending $80 to $100 a week just on feed. I'm like, yo, next year y'all are getting a food plot. I can't do this. Like,
I'm
I'm gonna make
telling
a
you.
micro plot. I'll throw some clover out. Like, I'm good.
And that's the
So,
best thing. Clover's such a good food source that gives you year-round protein.
yeah.
And it's got a real good protein content and it's there year round. It's not like soybeans and oats or that other stuff that you're just catching for a time period out of the year. Those perennials that have high protein is just, it's good stuff that works year round because your turkeys will feed on clover like no
Yeah.
joke. I mean, you can look in their craw. I always look in their craw to see what they're eating and all. And, lots of times, majority everything that's in there is clover.
So maybe
So,
that's what I need to do then. Maybe I stop putting food out and just because the thing is, like, one, and I think I might have told you this last time. I don't remember, but one property, I need to go over there and cut everything to the dirt or as low as I can before it rains and then plant it. But the other one, I'm basically going to have to take a backpack blower and just clear out a hole because it'd be a very small, like probably 30 by 30 foot patch of clover, right? Because it'd have to be a micro plot. I don't even know if you'd call that a micro plot. I don't know what you would call that, but the biggest thing is making sure it's got enough sunlight, making
Yeah,
sure
correct.
there is rain. And I mean, I saw somewhere that we're supposed to be in pretty much a drought for the next like 3 weeks.
He
So I'm
very
like,
well
dude.
could be.
It
Yeah,
just
very
it
well.
threw everything in the blender and I'm like, well, I guess we'll just see what happens. But I want to switch gears a little bit back to turkeys. So one thing I've heard a lot of people say, and I don't know, because again, never been turkey hunting. I've heard people compare turkey hunting to elk hunting.
It's a
Is
good.
it similar?
Yes, it is a very good analogy actually, because if I was made of money, I would live in September out west elk hunting because it is a joint of two of my favorite things, kind of turkey hunting and deer hunting. It kind of combines the both of them because you're able to call the elk in and that kind of stuff. So you're calling like you're turkey hunting, which you don't do with a deer. So
Yeah, I've
it's
tried.
like turkey hunting for a huge, animal is basically what it is. And, to that aspect where I told you earlier, if a turkey could smell, you'd never kill him. Elk hunting, you've got to take the smell into consideration because that elk can smell. And that's what makes it a little bit tough bow hunting for the elk is you got to watch your wind. They don't, in my personal opinion, they don't have quite as good of eyesight as a white-tail deer
Yeah.
does. You can kind of get away with a little more movement with an elk. They're not as jumpy per se as white-tail. So
Yeah. Like they
sometimes
typically
you
don't jump
get
strings, right?
Yeah, they don't. You know, they're a little bit more, I guess, just being such a bigger creature, you know, the bigger you are, the harder it is to be agile. And I don't know if that's it or if their brain processing is just a little slower. I don't know. I don't know what's
They're
going
just a little
on
bit
there.
dumber than the average whitetail. Let's
Yeah.
just say
I don't
it.
know
We know
quite
mule
what's
deer
going
are.
on.
You know
Yep.
that muleys are probably the dumbest deer species on the planet. I've seen so many videos, man, where someone gets a shot off and then just bound off 20 yards and then they turn around like, what
Right.
was that? And then they take another arrow and I'm like, see, I like you guys. Y'all look
And
cool and stupid.
elk can respond a lot like that as well. But yeah, elk hunting is, I would live out west September if I could, because you know, hearing those bugles, it's just
Oh, dude.
unreal. I mean, it makes the hair on the back of your neck stand up. And I wish I could do it more than I do it. You know, you can go out there. There's a lot of public land out there that you can hunt. And so you can go out there, but most of us, you know, over here on the East Coast, you know, we've got jobs. We can't afford to be gone from our job for 2 to 3 weeks just to find some elk. And it can take 2 to 3 weeks to find what you're looking for out there. And it takes a lot of hiking into that back country to be able to get to where they are. Because it's just like public land and everything else, you know, around the roadways is hunted really hard. So you got to push way back in there to find the good stuff. And it's a lot of work. And, you know, it's really a lot of work to find a good bull or to find a good herd that you want to watch, you know, that kind of thing. And we don't have 3 weeks to take off to go do that. So a lot of what we're doing from here is paying for the convenience of a guide to already know where these herds are and take you straight to them.
See, what I
So
was going to
we
suggest.
have to spend a little bit more money to get that.
But see, here's the
And
thing.
that's where.
I have a great idea for you. And I don't mean to cut you off, but you got to hear this because it just
No, you're
popped in my
fine.
head. Get with Tyler. Okay. Sit down with Tyler. Say, Tyler, buddy, brother. Can I call you brother? Brother. I want to kill a big elk. So here's what we do. Realtree pays for you to go to Colorado or whatever OT, you can even do OTC, right? Realtree pays for the trip, cover expenses, whatever. You guys film it, you make a video of it. And the kicker is you do with DNR over there what you did with DNR when you did your turkey video. You know where I'm going with this?
Oh,
Huh?
yeah, I know
Huh?
exactly where you're
Tell me
going
that
with
wouldn't be great. That is good on TikTok. That's
Yeah.
good on YouTube. That would hit. So just an idea. I don't know if Tyler and them would be into it, but nah, I'm
I don't
playing.
know if their DNR would be into it. We had to
Oh.
work that way up the chain in the
If
Georgia
Realtree,
DNR.
if somebody from Realtree, if Bill called them and said, hey, probably knows him by name, hey, we want to do this. We have this idea. Would one of your officers be down? I promise you somebody would be down. I guarantee it. They'd be stupid not to.
That's
But I
right.
know Colorado is a little funky. Like I'm going there next year, at least I'm supposed to. And some of the stuff I've looked at, I'm like, dude, this ain't Georgia. It's so different.
Yeah, when you get out west, it's a totally different mentality. And going back to the turkeys a little bit right here, when you go out west, they hate a turkey. They do not understand why we want to kill them.
Really?
I mean, they're like a nuisance to them out west. You know, you get in Colorado, New Mexico, Wyoming, all those good turkey areas out west, and they sit there and look at us like we're stupid to want to hunt them. They hate them. They hate them. They wish you'd wipe them off the map.
Is there a
So,
reason?
no, they just don't. I guess they're just not big turkey hunters out there. You know, a lot of those
Interesting.
outfitters and all that kind of stuff out there will tell you the only customers we get are from y'all over on the East Coast, you know, in the
That's wild.
Southeast area.
That's
And
wild.
you know, you get in the Southeast area and we're huge turkey
Oh,
hunters, you
yeah.
know, but you go out there and they care nothing about them. Like I was in Buffalo, Wyoming a couple of years ago, and the turkeys walk through the town. I mean, it's crazy. They are
I
literally,
believe that.
we saw two of them out back of the feed store picking up busted bags and stuff. Just turkeys all
That's
through. I
crazy.
mean, like down Main Street, there's turkeys walking the sidewalk, you know, and they
They're just
hate
part of the
them.
community, man. That's all. They babysit your kids, you know, they'll watch your dog for you. Like,
But they'll sit there and go, yeah, they sit there and go, we have no clue why y'all want to come out here and kill these things.
Yeah, well, it's probably because they have elk and they have moose and they have muleys. Like, I get it, right? Mm-hmm. And
it's
mentality. Yeah, and I mean, I do feel like it's funny too, because, you know, I got my uncle that lives in Colorado and all that. Uh-huh. And we'll talk about the differences between Colorado hunting and like Georgia hunting. And I've noticed, knowing, like, you know, we both know people that are from the West, that are from Midwest, North, South, whatever. The funny thing is, I feel like down here in our area, especially Georgia, it's hunting, fishing.
Right.
It doesn't matter what it is. Like, you're going to go do it. Pigs, deer, turkeys, bears. I mean, bobcat. I saw some dude, he posted something about beaver hunting. And I'm like, it's crazy. I mean, iguanas in Florida.
Yeah, there's people that go down there and shoot them with pellet guns and all kinds of
stuff. Paul Cinnaground with Cinnaground Outdoors, dude. They go every year.
The funniest thing is when it gets cold down there and they start falling out of the trees.
Yeah.
Can you imagine just standing out there by the water and an iguana hits you in the head?
Yeah, little 20-pound Godzilla comes flying out of the
– Yeah, they just literally start falling out of the trees. That amazes me.
See, that's what makes the South so interesting.
I'm telling
you. We might not have big deer, but we got some interesting animals.
We do that. That's for sure. That is for sure.
That's wild. So what – changing gears a little bit, what's your setup look like this year, bow wise and arrow and all that stuff?
I still run Hoyt. I absolutely love the Hoyt brand. I'm running the AX3 this year.
Ooh.
Instead of
the RX. You didn't want to go with the AX90?
Do what?
You didn't want to go with the AX90?
Man, I can't pull all that weight. I'm getting old. Dude. I'm getting old. The thing I like about the Hoyts the past few years is they've been coming in a few pounds heavy, which is putting my bows about 73 pounds roughly. And that is just perfect for me. And, you know, really there's no need to go over that. I mean, you know, like Ted Nugent shoots 48 pounds and hunts animals all over the world. Today's bows are so efficient that you really don't have to put all that weight. Now, if I was out west and constantly hunting bigger game, like, you know, your elk, moose, grizzlies, that kind of stuff.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. Forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
You might want to amp it up a little bit if you were comfortable doing it. 70 pounds is plenty enough to do the job.
Yeah.
But you could shoot a little further, get a little flatter trajectory and that sort of thing if you were up there around that 80 pound. There's very few people I've ever dealt with that get out of the 70 pound, above the 70 pound category. Yeah. Waddell's one of the only ones I know. Waddell runs an 80 pound bow, but he's also hunting moose. He lives out west during September hunting elk.
Oh, believe me, I know.
You know, he's hunting grizzlies. He's hunted grizzlies before. I mean, he's hunting these big animals where you need it. But honestly, I'm probably count on one hand the 80-pound bows I've dealt with over the year.
Here, at least in my area, it seems like everybody wants to start pushing heavier, right? Like, Josh shoots 75. My buddy Hunter's got his up to like 94, and it's an RX4. So I'm shocked that thing hasn't even blown up on him yet. But it is funny too, because you know I nerd out on this stuff, right? So I'm sitting here with my like 72, 73. At least that's what I think it is. I probably need to check, because no joke, it feels heavy. Like it feels like it's drawing heavier than what it should. Which I'm okay with. You know, I had to drop arrow weight this year just so I could maintain relatively the same speed.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people are kind of amping up on poundage a little bit.
Because
heavier arrows and FOC has been a big trend. And especially if you have a shorter draw length. I've noticed some of your shorter draw length people that are trying to amp it up a little bit. Because there again, speed is a factor. Because you're losing 10 feet a second per inch of draw. So the shorter you are, the more speed you're losing, and you're losing it quick. Yep. So, you know, the best way to gain your speed is through poundage. Yeah. So, you know, that's why you see some of your shorter draws amping up a little bit. As long as you're, you know, 28 to 30 inches where, you know, a majority of the people are, you're okay without amping up into that 80-pound category. You know, because I typically like my arrow set up to be between about 270 and 290. Yeah. You know, that's where I want to hit. And I kind of build my arrow around that of what I'm wanting with a 70-pound bow. So I just kind of craft my arrow around the speed I want. Like right now with my bow set up at like 72, 73 pounds and my arrow set up, I'm running right at 280, which is perfect for me, you know. It's a solid setup. So, and I do like a little bit heavier arrow. I don't get carried away with it. A lot of people are getting really, really carried away with this FOC, in my opinion. And they're putting out over 600 grain arrows and all that for a white-tailed deer. I mean, to me, that's taking it a little far.
That's too much.
As far as white-tailed deer go, that is just too far, you know. I kind of like my setups usually around 470 ish, give or take a little bit, depending on what veins I'm running or if I'm running a lighted knock or not or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, typically that's about where I want my arrow weight at. And it's good enough to get really good penetration on the deer, because my whole deal with a deer is that exit hole is so important to me, as far as finding the animal and getting a good blood trail. So I want to do as much as I can to get that arrow out the other side. And, you know, so I tend to go a little bit on the heavier side for me, but there's some people running some heavy stuff that's just, you know, I sit there and go, why? You know, at the end of the day, why?
Just grab a spear. You know? It's going to do the same thing.
So...
I mean, what draw length are you? 29?
28.
20. Yep. Oh, okay. So we're the same draw length then.
Yeah. I run 28.
What I've noticed with like my arrow build, because I always do, especially going attack every year now, I always do attack build and then hunting build, which typically will pretty much fall in the same weight range. I guess it's just what I like to use and what I'm comfortable with, confident with, whatever. But this year I did a little test. Because my bow, so the bow that I shot last year is like 13 foot a second faster than what my bow is this year.
Right.
And so taking that into account, because I want the same speed and still heavy enough arrow, dude, I dropped it. Like I was running 445 last year. And I think when I weighed the ones that I've been shooting, I've got without lighted nocks and 125 grain point, I'm at 432.
Yeah.
But I want to use lighted nocks because I'm going to start filming this year. And so I was like, if I do that, it's going to be heavy and I'm going to be slower than what I'd like. Right. It's not going to make a huge difference, but I'm already working with, you know, a slower bow.
Right.
And because I got the 7-inch brace height instead of the 6.
Yeah.
You know, comfort and all that stuff.
Which is going to be more forgiving and accurate.
Exactly. Exactly. So I then dropped to 100 grain point with a lighted nock, and it's like 418.
Yeah.
And I shot them both. It wasn't yesterday. It was 2 days ago, 3 days ago. I shot the 432, no lighted nock, 418, lighted nock. No difference.
Right.
At 40 yards, 45 yards, no difference. So I'm like,
that's good.
Does it really matter? But see, the thing is, I can't run because I want 125 because I'd like to be around 15, 16% FOC, but I also want to be able to see the arrow when I shoot it.
Correct.
So what do I do? You know? So I think I'm just going to stick with the 418. And if that doesn't work, then I'll switch and deal with it. But it's, I do this every year, you know? And that's why I was curious, like, what your setup is. Cause I used to run, you know, low fives, high fours. And I've noticed I've been going less and less and less. Right. But see, the thing about speed, and I'm curious your opinion on this. I've heard so many arguments that you're never going to get an arrow to the deer quick enough, which is true. But you also don't want to have too slow of an arrow to give it more time to react more.
Correct. So, and I've listened to everybody in the, it's an age old argument that'll never be settled.
Yeah.
It'll just never be settled. But, you know, it's kind of like me throwing a ping pong ball at your face versus me throwing a bowling ball at your face at the same mile per hour. Which one's going to hurt worst and do more damage? You know,
probably the bowling ball.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I understand the speed and getting there fast and deer jumping the string and all that. I do. But I read an article, and it's been a long time ago, but it was one of these big mathematicians that crunch all the figures and everything. And he said, if a deer is going to jump your bow at 260, he's going to jump it at 300.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't matter. There's not enough math in there to justify beating him jumping that string.
Yeah.
There's no leeway, you know. If he's going to jump it at 260, it didn't matter if you were shooting a 320 feet per second bow, the outcome was still going to be basically the same.
Yeah.
As far as him crunching the numbers and adding everything together, they said it didn't matter. They said there's not enough feet per second difference in that little area between slow bows and fast bows to make a difference on a deer jumping your arrow. Now, I don't know because I can't crush those figures, but this guy sounded smart. And
trust him.
But then again, I go back to that same deal about, you know, everybody's going to argue every side. You know, I can throw out a positive. This person that's on speed is going to throw a negative right back at me.
Mm-hmm.
And it just comes down to a personal preference and shoot what makes you happy.
Yeah.
You know, well, I see too many people going, you're an idiot for shooting this. Man, if you're happy with it, high five.
Mm-hmm.
High five. If that's what you want to shoot and what you feel is the right, you know, arrow build or bow for the job, go with it.
Yeah.
Go with, do it. Do you, you know, but there's a lot of people that if they're not doing it, if you're not doing it their way, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And in the archery world, there's more than one way to skin a cat, you know.
Oh, dude.
Multiple people can be right.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
so I had
multiple
T-bone
people
on.
Can be right, but some people don't see life or bow hunting or whatever through that same aspect.
Yeah.
But
I know and T-Bone got into it a couple years ago, not got into it like argued,
right,
but we just dove into the topic. And I did a whole thing one spring on arrows, right? And
yeah.
I might've told you this, but I had Ranch Ferry on.
Yeah.
And he advocated for 650.
Mm-hmm.
Fine.
And he's big on lot of weight. And
oh, yeah.
More power to it.
Yeah. You're going to get like good penetration. Yeah. You'll get penetration.
The best.
Yeah. But then I had Tim Gillingham on.
Yeah.
Who shoots sub 400 with a 33 inch draw length. Correct. Right. So I'm like, I'm going through this and I'm planning out the rest of the episodes. I'm like, man, you know who I need to get on here? I need to talk to T-Bone, dude. This I think was before you and I met. So
right.
I was like, I just need to get T-Bone on here because he's just going to shoot it straight. So I remember asking him, I'm like, T-Bone, what would you say for the average guy, 28 inch draw, 70 pounds, decent speed bow, right? Like the single cam stuff, that's a whole different topic. But our bows are typically anywhere between 315 to 340. If you shoot, you know, a Sicario, you're shooting 360, but whatever. What's the middle ground arrow build? He goes, 450.
Yeah.
Like 450 is the middle ground that you can get away with a lot of stuff. And so like, then I remember kind of hearing from someone else. I might've been Jay or somebody. They were shooting low fours. Oh no. You know what? It was Josh Jones. And he was talking about how he hunts elk with 420 grain arrows.
Right. And I wouldn't be scared to do that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I wouldn't be scared to hunt an elk. And a lot of it, to be honest with you, boils down shot placement more than, you know, air stuff. If you hit the animal where you're supposed to hit it, you know, a field tip with a standard 350 grain arrow is going to kill him. I mean, every time. So, you know, I would work more on your efficiency to put that arrow where it needs to go versus, you know, so much as far as the arrow build. But, you know, it's just like you say, you'll talk with people, you know, as long as you stay above 5 grains per pound, you're not doing any damage to the bow and you're fine. So as long as you're, if you're shooting 70 pounds, that's 350 grain arrow is the minimum you want to shoot. Now you start going less than that, you're going to start damaging your bow. It's going to start functioning like a dry fire in to a degree. So you want to make sure you're above that, you know, 5 grains per pound. Once you're above there, do whatever the heck you want to and makes you happy. But I'm more in that T-bone area to where I kind of ride that middle, maybe a little bit more to the heavy side.
Yeah.
But I'm not gonna argue with anybody over it, because if it's what you like and what you believe in, a lot of it's all up here.
Yeah.
You know, it's like me. I sit here and look at an arrow, and I look at one that's 1,000ths, and I look at one arrow that's 3,000ths straightness. Okay. In my mind, I know I can't shoot the difference between one and three, but what am I going to buy?
The 1,000ths.
Exactly. Because it's up here. Now, I know I can't shoot the difference between one and three, not with my human element involved in the situation. So, you know, but it's got to be up here. If your head isn't right, you're not going to shoot right. So that's why I say, man, whatever you believe in and whatever you think's going to work and whatever, you know, you've had success with, that's where you need to be. Whether it's a 350 grain arrow or a 650 grain arrow.
Yeah.
You know,
whatever you're confident.
That's the great thing about America is we're free to do whatever the hell we want to do.
Yeah. For now, you know, at least. We'll see how things go, but.
As long as it's legal and not hurting your equipment, man, I'm going to give you a high five all day long, every day.
Well, but the
there
funny
are a
thing,
lot of people that take it personal, man.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've gotten into so many arguments, and like, that's why I bring it up on here sometimes, because it's like, I know how I am, and what I'm probably going to end up doing is second guessing the lighter build and just go back to what I know works. Because let's be honest here.
You might want to run a lighter build.
Well, yeah. Know? I'm talking about
and
when
deer
season.
Come deer season, switch over to a heavier, you know, arrow.
Exactly.
And there's lots of different things you're doing as far as different weights. I know a lot of people that'll change up from a whitetail to an elk. They'll change their whole arrow setup and all. I don't do that.
I wouldn't do that.
I'm running an arrow heavy enough I feel comfortable with, you know, with deer or elk, but I do know people that have two different setups. When they go out west, they run a totally different arrow with a different weight, maybe a different sight, that kind of stuff. Yeah. I use my deer set up for here anywhere I go.
Well, let's be honest, Pitts, where we're hunting at, what's the farthest shot we're going to take? Maybe 40. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, we've like, got I'm talking Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you
yeah,
shoot past 40 in Georgia,
well,
where are you?
And most people honestly don't need to shoot past 40.
No, I completely agree.
You know, as far as when you take the movement of the animal in there, it's just like if I can see a deer at 80 yards, can I make that shot? Yeah, I can make that shot. But what is that deer going to do from the time the arrow leaves my mm-hmm. bow till it gets to that target?
Exactly.
He can take a step or two, and I went from a kill shot to a gut shot or yep. a wound shot or a miss. So it's not all about your capability. It's what can go wrong in between the release of that arrow and when it gets to the animal.
Yep.
And that's when, like, where I'm at, deer jump your string, they're edgy, they're, you know, just skittish as all get out. So anything over a 40-yard shot, yes, you can make it, but is it really the right decision? And well, that's what each individual. Now, in the Midwest, where a deer is much more laid back, I yeah. might push it to 60 yards yeah. or maybe even a little further than that if the deer's really, really laid back. So
isn't there something, because I've heard people talk about this in depth that have actually taken these shots. The farthest shot I've ever taken was 25 yards, right?
Right.
So mm-hmm. I don't know nothing. But what I have heard from a lot of people is between 30 and 40, uh-huh. you don't want to shoot them. Because at 20, yeah, they hear the noise, right? They hear the bow go off. They probably hear the arrow coming, but it's mm-hmm. such a short distance that
correct.
You have less of a chance of them actually moving. But from 30 to 40, they hear it. The arrow's not there yet.
Right.
And then they move. So it's like,
yeah,
have you seen that?
I have watched a lot and kind of dove into it and gone down a lot of rabbit holes as far as why deer's jump in the string. And the most consistent, accurate information I've gotten is that the deer is hearing the veins. It's not your bow going off. It's not your release clicking.
Mm-hmm.
Not anything. It is the veins of the arrow in flight. You know, if you will sit somebody down, you know, about 10 yards from the target, let's just say you got somebody shooting at 50 yards.
Mm-hmm.
If you put them about the 15 yard mark and just let them listen as that yeah. arrow comes by, it is making a lot of noise.
Oh yeah. It's like a,
Yes. And so, you know, I shoot a fletch vein, which is very thin, but yet very, very durable. Yeah. And it's probably got about the less noise, you know, as far as aerodynamic flight noise. It's not very loud, but I've shot some veins before that, man, they sound like an F-16 coming in front of you. But you never really know it is the shooter. But if you'll do that when you're out shooting with a buddy or whatever, now mm-hmm. don't stand right in front of the target, you know.
Yeah, don't do that.
Stand off to the side.
I've done that before.
And about halfway between the shooter and the target and listen yeah. to that arrow when it comes in front of you. So I do believe that the deer is responding off the sound of that fletching. I don't think they're really hearing the bow as much as many people think they are.
Yeah.
Well,
I was at the range with Josh last weekend, you know, sighting the bow in and just kind of shooting.
Right.
You don't even have to be with some arrows, right? Some veins.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be 15 yards. You could be standing next to him and I can hear. And yeah. we're shooting 70, yeah. 70 plus.
Yeah.
And as soon as he let that thing go, I heard it just go.
Right.
And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
huh, I'm right next to you. And I could hear that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So.
That is correct. And each little aerodynamic thing, each thing you change on a bow, I mean, I've had veins do it. I've had knocks do it. I've had inserts that, you know, are kind of, you know, flared out a little bit. Any little thing you do changes the noise level of that arrow. Yeah. And you don't really notice it from the shooter's perspective. You know, it's something you kind of have to back up on, but you'll see tests where they do decibel tests and all that mm-hmm. on veins. And Easton's been doing a lot of really good, accurate dives into this kind of stuff as far as broadheads, airs, veins. They did a real good thing on veins last year as far as, you know, flight, noise, that kind of stuff. And so, you know, as technology moves on, we're able to capture more data in more areas and actually see what different things are doing from a yeah. controlled environment, not adding human element or whatever into it. But yeah, there's some good stuff out there.
I mean, what's crazy to me, like I was listening to, I think it was the Podium Archer podcast, and they had yeah. the owner of DCA. The
yeah.
guy that makes the Super Sabres.
Yeah.
He was talking about how he ran a bunch of tested uh-huh. his against other veins and stuff, and what right. it's doing to the air. Cause you know, I'm big on, like, I'm a weather nerd, like tornadoes fascinate me. Right. Uh-huh. So when right. he started talking about this, my ears perked up. Cause he was like, yeah. you're creating little tornadoes.
Right.
It's basically what you're doing.
Yeah.
He's like, when you're that
correct.
Air that you're hearing.
Yeah.
That's just a mini tornado coming off the vein.
Correct.
And so I'm like,
and helical has stuff to do with all that.
Yeah.
I mean, some people put a really radical helical.
I'm running 5 degrees.
Yep, on their stuff, you know, and typically I like between 2 to 3 on the 3-fletch. And that's another argument that'll go on forever, you know, is 3-fletch, 4-fletch, high-profile, low-profile, length. There's so much that goes into the equation there.
Yeah.
But
try telling Cam Haynes not to run 4-fletch and see how that works out for you.
I know it. But, you know, if you're running a fixed head and a heavy setup, I could see where it might be a little bit beneficial.
Yeah.
You know, when he's out there in that kind of territory where you run that kind of stuff, you know, you're going to have a little bit of heavier air, you know, that sort of thing. So, you know, I would say if you're going to run 4, that's definitely the place to do it.
Yeah,
you
know, I've done it.
He shoots a fixed head, but
I've ran 4, but sure. it just, I don't know, man. I can't shoot the difference. I'll tell you that.
Right.
Like I've got some 4-fletch behind me.
Yeah.
I've shot them at distance. They don't have heavy helical, and the thing right. is, I'm kind of getting away from like the major helical stuff.
And if you do that with a 4-fletch to where it starts wrapping over and cutting the next vein off.
Mm-hmm.
You can end up in some big problems.
Yeah, I had that happen. I had mm-hmm. one that I built like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that, just playing around, you know, because this
right.
time of year is when I do that. And I was running a 5-degree 4-fletch, and
yeah.
I shot it at distance, and I could literally see the back end of the mm-hmm. arrow just wobbling.
It'll start
like crazy.
Washing.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, man, like it dropped out of the sky. It was crazy.
Uh-huh.
So I do like the heavy helical for, you know, close range, like hunting setups, definitely.
Right.
Because those
yeah.
those groups are ridiculously tight. But
mm-hmm.
if you're shooting distance, I mean, I experienced it this past weekend shooting what I have. Because, I mean, I was, when I was sighting in, I was noticing, like, you know, on the dialed side, it's got the numbers, right? So you start
right.
at 0, and then you
yeah.
5, 10, 15, 20, all the way to, I guess, 100. I don't even know. But,
yeah.
And then you just match it up to a tape or whatever. So
mm-hmm.
we started at 20, 30, 40, figured that out. And then we went to 50, and we go to 60, 70, 80, and then we jump to 100.
Right.
And the difference you could plainly see.
Yeah.
And I know it was because of the helical.
Yeah.
They're good to a point. Once you get past 70,
right. yeah.
it starts dropping like crazy.
Right.
So
right.
I may get away from that. I love how we started this off meaning to talk about turkeys, and we did
like I know
30
it.
Minutes of it. Now we're talking arrows and deer and
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
It's you can tell where my mind's at.
Oh, I'm bad about that. I'll circle talk and end up over here and come back to here, and there ain't no telling where I'm gonna end up.
But that's what makes it fun.
Exactly.
I think that's why people listen to this, because I'm like, hey guys, in this episode we're talking to so and so about this. And
uh-huh.
it's not about that at all.
And it's not about that at all. Yeah.
One thing I want to bring up with you before we hop yeah. off here, and it's been I don't know if you listened to it or not. If you haven't, please listen to it, because it's a very, very good episode. This is not me plugging. This is not me trying to promote or nothing, but it's a very good episode that I just dropped this week with
uh-huh.
a buddy of mine
yeah.
named Dustin Cole. And the
uh-huh.
topic was men's mental health, which we
right.
do not talk about enough.
Right.
How do you, without, I guess without getting too personal, right?
Yeah.
You struggle with that? I mean, especially being the in my opinion, the legend in the industry that you are, like, do you have, hey, listen, man, ain't nobody got, I hope Doug hears this. No one's got a stash like you. All right. I'm just going to throw it out there. All right. Fight me. But all joking aside, like, you know, because I've dealt with the imposter syndrome and like deer season's really rough and all that. But do you deal with that? Like, is that something that
I do? Really? I do deal with it. I mean, I'm not going to lie. Deer will keep me up at night from time to time, you know, just trying to figure them out, playing different scenarios, this, that, and everything else. What situations, what wins, what this. I think I have a problem with overthinking a lot of stuff that I'm doing periodically, and it can really get in my head. And there was a year about 6-7 years ago where I had a specific deer I wanted to hunt and kill. I had a lot of history with the deer, and I became obsessed with him. And that was one of the only years I've ever had to where I didn't kill a buck in Georgia, period. Yeah. And it just got in my head and got me all messed up to where it was that deer, or no deer. And, you know, after season, I kind of sat back and realized that I'd let that deer creep into my head and take over. And, you know, so I told myself I'd never let that happen again, you know, and I haven't. But yeah, I'll go down some rabbit holes and get to thinking and overthinking everything as far as a lot of it goes.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, how do you combat, like, when you get, you know, because as men, like, we have a lot of weight on our shoulders, right?
Right.
I mean, how do you combat that? Like, I go at it with my faith where I'm like, all right, God, I'm in a dark place right now, man.
Right.
I had 2 days this past month where I literally wanted nothing to do with anyone. Like, my, I told the story last week. I'll tell you this too. And this is how bad it got. Right. And I'm not trying to get like, you know, depressing or anything, but people need to hear these things. There was a day that me and my daughter went to church. My wife was out of town and I was just in this weird mood. Like, I woke up and I was in a very weird mood, tried to fight it, was happy to be at church, but church was a little like, I just felt disconnected. And so the family was there and my daughter wanted to go to her grandma's place.
Yeah.
And my sister-in-law just had her baby in January, right? I love this kid. She's my little niece. Like, she's tiny. Like, babies terrify me, but I always want to see her. And dude, that day I told my daughter, I was like, hey, you can go to your grandma's house. You can go to Gigi's. No big deal. But yeah, I'm going to go home.
Yeah.
And I just literally went home and it was the weirdest thing. And I told my wife, I'm like, I don't know what is wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, obviously I'm very open about my faith on here. So I prayed about it and got through and everything was fine. But like, I'm just curious to hear from other guys, like, how do you deal with it? Like, what gets you out of that?
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's one of those things where you've almost got to just sit down and tell yourself it's just a deer.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, like in life in general, I'm not talking just about hunting, you know, I'm talking like when it maybe isn't even related to hunting, like, what? Cause the thing is, I could sit here all day long and say, hey man, take it to Jesus, do what you got to do. And I'm being honest.
Right.
But there's people that listen to this that maybe don't have a relationship with them, or maybe they've got their own thing that, you know, is keeping them from doing that.
Correct.
And I'm trying to think of ways that maybe I could be like, all right, well, if you don't want to go down that rabbit hole or that route, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to force it down anyone's throats.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of ways where I could be like, okay, well, maybe try this, you know? So like, I if I'm prying, let me know. But
no,
I'm,
you're
just
not
curious,
prying,
you know.
But I'm big in, you know, my faith too. So, you know, that's definitely a go-to.
Yeah.
Praying about it, that kind of stuff. That tends to ease my mind a lot, you know, as far as that side of everything goes. But
maybe
you know,
that's just the answer then.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's the best answer.
That's what I'm saying.
I promise you there.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of it's, you know, when you get down, when you get beat up, you know, when you feel like life's just not going your way. Lots of times I have to sit down and focus on all the positive things that are going on. because I'll focus and dwell on the negative too much. And I have a problem myself of being my own worst critic. You know,
same.
Nobody's really got to get on to me because I'm being hard enough on myself already.
Yeah.
So if I know I've messed up, you really don't have to say anything to me. Yeah. I'm fixing it without you saying anything, and I'm beating myself up 10 times worse than you could ever.
So, it just makes it worse when they get on to you and they don't know.
Yeah.
You know, lots which of times, I've had that.
Yeah, and a lot of times I just have to sit down and, you know, go, yes, this is going bad, and it's not where I want it to be, but what all good is going on around me?
Yeah.
You know, and you can even put pen to paper and do a pros and cons list, and I guarantee the pros definitely outweigh the cons.
Yeah.
And when you start realizing that, I think it shifts your mindset a little bit.
Yeah.
I think you start realizing, because there's lots of times we all sit back and think we're being beat up and kicked while we're down and stuff of that nature. But
yeah,
you know,
I mean, I had something like that happen recently, man, where someone kind of called me out on, and the thing is, I didn't even think I was being like negative or
right
or anything. Right.
Right.
And I got called out on it, and I took the whole day, and I was like,
yeah,
you know, I do sound very ungrateful with a lot of the stuff that I do, right? And I don't mean to. And maybe it's just, you know, my sarcasm, right? I am very sarcastic. You know this. So,
Well, a lot of people don't like other people being direct. And I like a direct person to deal with me because I don't ever have to worry about what that one person's thinking, you know, because they're going to tell me.
Yeah.
And lots of times I need to be told that, and it might shock me initially or whatever, but when you sit back and think about it, you know, they're right.
Yeah.
You know, and this is going on, and I do need to fix this, and maybe I am doing this a little bit wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of times you just got to sit back and reflect on what it is and if it's something you need to work on or if it's something that's not, because you got a lot of people in the world now that are spewing hate just to spew hate. They don't mean anything. They don't even know you. I mean, we get people come in on all our videos on stuff. They come in and make these negative comments. And, you know, if you let that kind of stuff get to you, it will.
Oh, yeah. And, I've had my fair share, dude. I told you before. I did that episode on the Rumpola Buck. That's the most negative comments I've ever gotten. I'm like, people are literally jumping on there, and I read them because most of them are funny.
Yeah.
But there's been a few that they're like, man, these two idiots. And I had one guy comment. Now, this video is 2 years old. Okay.
Right.
So this shows you people are still, which is crazy, but people are still watching it. And this guy commented, I think last night or this morning. And all he said was, man, one of these guys has to be Blackie Chan from the skeptics group. And I'm like, well, I left the group, so it ain't me. I don't know if this dude was one of them, maybe, but
that's right.
It's crazy, man. And like, there's people, some of the most negative stuff I've seen, right?
Yeah.
And Joe Rogan's got a great quote. Don't read the comments. Just don't.
Exactly. I know people that, man, it gets in their heads and ruins their days and stuff like that. And I'm like, man, you know, there's some people that just hate their life so much that they have to try and make other people's lives miserable. Mm-hmm. And I truly feel sorry for that person.
Oh, yeah. I pray for him.
So miserable that they've got to try to make other people miserable. Because nobody that's living a happy life and is happy with themselves and happy with others is going to stoop to that level.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you're dealing with somebody that's got, you know, issues somewhere as far as being able to make a comment like that. I've been on social media ever since social media was a thing, and I've never left one negative comment anywhere.
You I did when I was a teenager.
When I was a kid. But there are people, I truly believe this, there are people that get up every day and troll, and
makes
them happy.
Russia has a lot of those accounts. Yeah. Just for people who are listening that don't know. No, and it's crazy, man. Like, I see it a lot.
I feel sorry for that person, because you've got to be a miserable person for you to get enjoyment out of trying to belittle other people.
Well, and the thing is,
at a point with me, it's comical. I mean, it is. I just sit there and look at it.
The thing for me that I always have to remember, and this is for, you know, maybe you need to hear it. Maybe people listening need to hear it. I hope one person listening to this hears this and is like, dang, he's right. But
right.
If God woke you up today, you have nothing to complain about. Because there's people who went to sleep last night.
Yeah.
And did not wake up. And it's like, you know, the older I've gotten, because, you know, I'll be 31 on Saturday. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
happy birthday.
Thanks, buddy. That means a lot coming from you. I'm going to quote that, frame it. It's going in my bedroom. Probably sleep with it. but no, the older I've gotten, I've really started thinking about it where it's like, dude, you know, I thank him for everything I've got every night, every morning. Right. And even when I struggle with stuff, because I still, the old me, I said this last week too, the old me loves to try and rear his ugly head. Right. And the closer I get to him completely dying, the more he tries.
Yeah.
And when that happens, even when that happens, it's, you know, I go to God for it. I talk to Jesus about it.
Yeah.
And I'll take a step back and be like, okay, what, like you were saying, make a pros and cons list.
Right.
What's the good stuff? I have a beautiful wife. I have a beautiful daughter. I have a roof over my head. I've got food. The podcast is doing great. I have a good relationship with the Lord. I've got friends. I can hit you up anytime and be like, hey, Pitts, what's going on? I don't feel like I'm bothering you.
Right.
And it's like that sort of stuff I've got to be thankful for because there's mm-hmm. it could all go away like that.
Oh, and
you know, and exactly. I don't mean to get so deep on it, but like it really has been a thing. Cause I mean, let me put it this way. I know guys that felt so down and beaten and everything that they literally had a loaded pistol next to them.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They were about to pull it.
Right.
Some divine intervention came in and they didn't. And I thank God for that because to get to that point, I mean, I've been there before. I was a teenager, so it could have just been hormones, right? But, you know, I think Joe Rogan, the best thing he said once was, the worst thing that's ever happened to you is the worst thing that's ever happened to you.
Right.
And I think a lot of people, you know, we all have different upbringings. Like, my upbringing is completely different than yours, right?
Right.
I'm sure there's things that have happened to me that to you would be like absolutely no big deal. And correct. I know, especially in the field that you're in, I know you've seen things that would probably break me. So... Mm-hmm. It's just like, I guess what I'm getting at is I feel like we need to be more as a either society or let's just say the hunting community. Everybody wants to be a big buck killer. Everybody wants to be, you know, the next Lee Ellis or the next whoever.
Right. And
what's the word I'm looking for? The bashing and the negativity that I see. Mm-hmm. You don't know who you're talking to. Like, you don't know what that person's going through. Right. So why do that?
Yep.
And I guess that's why I love getting you on here, man. Cause you're not one of those people that's like, oh, my balls are bigger than down the street. Like, I killed a 120, son. I'm the best damn thing. I'm the baddest thing in the woods. Oh, boy. Like, you're not like that. And
it's
a lot of people are, unfortunately.
Yeah. I it's just me. I can't believe somebody like you won't talk to me. I mean, you know, it's just, you know.
Fitz, have you seen the videos you put out?
I mean, it's just, come on. To me,
I'm shocked. I'm shocked that you don't have women knocking your door down with that broom you got on and all this other stuff, dude. If they watch your videos, I won't let Jessica watch them. I'm like, hey, that's too much of a man. That's the closest damn thing to Dale Earnhardt I've ever met. Don't even play.
You,
like I said, you are a national treasure. I say this every single episode.
I go that far, but
I think you are.
I just have fun with what I do.
But that's what we need. That's all it is. That's what we need because everybody's so serious.
Yeah.
Like, I've had people on this podcast that worship deer.
Yeah.
And I'm talking night and day. It's all I think about. And that's fine. Hey, you do you, right? But if I sit you down and I say, hey, tell me about your life story. And I'm not laughing within the first 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's just stone faced. Like, this is what you do to kill deer.
Yeah.
Hold on. Where's the personality? Where's the person behind this? You're telling me this is all you think about? you know, and I'm sure you, I could probably tell you who I'm thinking of and you would know exactly, like you'd agree.
Oh, I'm sure too. But, I'm sure too. There's some people that take it to the extreme.
And but, I get it, you know, like, but see, there's good extremes and there's bad extremes. Lee Ellis, right. Good extreme.
Oh yeah.
Unnamed people, bad extreme.
That's right.
So yeah. It is what it is. I'm not trying to bash anyone. I know I'm kind of rambling here, but
it's,
I guess what I'm getting at with this whole entire thing is we need to really start talking more about men's mental health and how important it is because we were raised, hey man, if you got something wrong, bottle it up. Don't talk about it.
Right. Nobody cares.
Exactly.
Nobody cares.
Exactly. And it's like, no, there's people that care. I've got a buddy of mine, literally don't even know this dude from Adam, but he and I were talking last night and we were just, I was laying it all out and he was laying it all out to me and like how he struggles with stuff and how I struggle with stuff. And it ended with both of us being like, yo, bro, you ever need anything?
Yeah.
Hit me up. I don't care what time of day it is or anything. Hit me up. Like,
no doubt.
Cause I don't want to see anybody go down that
no
dark rabbit hole, I guess.
Yeah. No.
So
there's need to it when there's help, you know, out there.
Yeah, exactly. Look, we need to finish this on a light note. So are we going to see you? Are we going to see you running for Mr. Green Jeans in another video soon? Or when can we expect to see some turkey videos drop?
Texas ought to drop here for long. I'm not sure where they're at in the editing process on all that, but I would imagine within the next week, it'll probably be coming out on Realtree Road Trips, probably, and Spring Thunder side of Realtree. And then I believe Saturday, as a matter of fact, heading to Redstone Armory for that veterans hunt. We're doing it again this year. And that's always a really good hunt because they let us into areas that have never been hunted. Like last year, we were in some areas that hadn't been hunted since the 70s. And we got 80% of the veterans a bird on the first day. Wow. And by the end of the second day, we had 100% all the veterans killed a bird. Oh, so it's always a good hunt.
That's awesome.
And I like Redstone Armory. It's just it's an interesting place because you got all four branches of the military there.
Where's the FBI there?
You've got NASA's there. That's where space camp and all that for the kids is. It's in Huntsville, Alabama.
Okay.
Where it's at.
Yeah.
And it's a really neat place. And it's fun to go up there and it's really good turkey hunting and we get to get these veterans birds. So it's always a fun time. So we're heading up there. Well, I'm heading up there Saturday to take part in the youth hunt.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we start hunting, I can't remember when it is, but the veteran hunt's 2 days, but I'm going in a little earlier to do some youth hunts. So it'll be some fun hunting up there.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, man. Give me, give everybody a shameless plug before we sign off of here.
What is a shameless plug?
Like where they can find you,
YouTube, man,
all that stuff. I mean, they probably know by now, but for maybe new listeners.
I'm terrible with social
media. Do you want me to do it for you?
Worst, but, you know, Facebook, I got two Facebook pages, Michael Alton Pitts and then Michael Pitts Outdoors on Facebook. And then on Instagram, it's @TheRealPitts is what it is. Yeah. I need to get better with my social media. I'm in that older crowd that computers scare the heck out of me. And so, you know, I'm not as active on social media as I probably need to be. I need to get better at that and post more.
Just hire a kid to do it for you. I'm sure there's some kid out there that loves hunting that would love to do it.
Yeah, I know it. I need to do that. Realtree gets on to me all the time because I don't post enough. I need to get a little better with my social media stuff, you know?
Dude, it's hard. But I ain't going to lie. I put out a couple things a week.
Yeah, with me, it's just, I don't know, part of me scared of computers, honestly. And then a part of me is just so busy, it's hard for me to, you know, sit down and find a couple hours to just spend on social media and get stuff out there. And it's one of those things I'll sit there and kind of put off and next thing, you know, it's just, I ain't even done it.
Yeah.
But that's one thing I need to get better at doing for sure.
Well, all you ladies listening, all two of you,
I'm tied down though.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. I'm just that mustache, man. Okay. Well,
my girlfriend's ladies, I'm gonna sorry see to break this your heart. And she's going to be going, I'm going to hear about it.
All right. Pitts's girlfriend. I am so sorry. I did not know.
I'm just messing with you.
I don't know.
I'm just messing with you.
We just broke a couple of hearts, but that's okay. No, for real, man. Thank you for coming on. And yeah, everybody, absolutely. Everybody needs to go follow you. They need to go support you. Don't blow him up on Facebook, though. I did it.
No, blow me up. I don't
okay,
care.
Okay, blow him up. He says blow him up.
You know, I'm just, you know, I'll get back to you sooner or later.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'll tell you what. Out of all the things on social media, that's the one thing I'm bad at. Is replying. Like, I've probably got messages from 3 weeks ago that I'm just like, I'll get to it later. And then the wife and kid get home. I'm like, oh crap, I never messaged so and so back. Dang it.
Yeah, that's the same way.
I'll do it tomorrow. And then it's bad, dude. But seriously, buddy, thank you for coming on. I know we got derailed. This podcast went a little bit longer than I expected, but I don't care because it was a lot. See, this is why I like doing them in the afternoon because I don't have to worry about, it's 9:30. I'm old. I need to go to sleep. You know,
I know it.
It's more fun. So, but dude, thank you for coming on. If I kill a bird, I'm going to name it Michael. And then, I will send you pictures. Hopefully I can find time, dude. That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
There's so much like work's about to get crazy and you know, everything else. So it's just, it's going to be fun. But anyway, Pitts, thank you.
Enjoying
I love getting
it.
You on. We are going to eventually do an in-person episode.
Yeah.
Plan is when that happens, we'll be talking deer so we can dive into it and we can figure out how to help my wall back here. That's got tiny deer. Cause apparently
nothing wrong with that.
Hey, nothing wrong with it. They taste the same, but
that's right.
You know?
Right. Yeah.
Awesome, buddy. Well, I guess until next time, man. Thank you.